you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk here on LAist 89.3, on air and live streaming right now on Instagram at LAist Official. Austin Cross with you on this Friday. As always, thank you so much for hanging out this morning. Coming up, we are combining Food Friday with our week-long series on love, and with wedding season right around the corner, we are going cake tasting. You and me, bring your fork. Our friends at Sweet Pea Cakery LA have brought in seven. This is like a record for us on Food Friday. Seven cakes for us to try. I hope we get through all of them, but you know that's going to be so great. So stick around for that. But we start with the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. He was Russian President Putin's biggest domestic adversary of the past decade. Here's a clip of Navalny in the 2022 documentary about him titled Navalny, which went on to win the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature.
Alexei, if you are arrested and thrown in prison, or the unthinkable happens and you're killed, what message do you leave behind to the Russian people?
My message for the situation when I'm killed is very simple: not give up.
Navalny goes on to say in Russia that the Russian people are not allowed to give up, and that if they decide to kill him, that means their efforts are strong and that they have power even though they're being oppressed. He also encourages them to utilize their power, not be inactive, because the only thing needed for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. With me to discuss is Daniel Rohr. He directed the award-winning documentary Navalny. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello.
You spent so much time with him for this film. Can you give us a window into what that time looked like, but also how this news is impacting you? Because I am sure it is difficult.
I appreciate you having me on. When I found out early this morning that Navalny had passed away, that he'd been killed in prison, I was shocked. As you heard from the clip you just played, it maybe shouldn't have been a surprise. This was something that we were all thinking about as we were making the film. It's something that Navalny, having survived previous assassination attempts, certainly was thinking about. Yet in spite of that, there was something about the news this morning that, in addition to just leaving me feeling gutted and angry, I was also so surprised. Why now? Why in this moment? Navalny was a guy who was charismatic and funny, and you know, would want to just sit around, have a beer, and talk about politics or filmmaking or whatever he was interested in that moment. And it really does feel for me that a light has gone out in this world. And I think that this loss will reverberate for decades and decades to come.
Talking right now with Daniel Rohr. He directed the documentary Navalny, came out in 2022, award-winning documentary. I think that, you know, a lot of people know the name and they know his opposition to Vladimir Putin, but there's so much to the story. And so you shine a big light on all of it in your film. But for those who don't know the full story, what should people know, in your view, about Navalny's background and some of the things that really led up to this point?
Well, I think the most important thing to know is what motivated Navalny. Alexei Navalny was someone who had this steadfast commitment to ridding Russia of this necrotic, cancerous regime, this rotting, festering regime that is led by Vladimir Putin. He wanted to usher in what he called the beautiful Russia of the future, a Russia that was democratic, a Russia that was free of corruption, which is a problem that plagues the country. And he wanted to reintroduce Russia to this global community in this 21st century. That was the dream he had for his country. And of course, going up against an authoritarian strongman like Vladimir Putin is very tricky work. And the personal danger that he took on as a result of his activism was immense. He survived assassination attempts in the past, with the most glaring example being the assassination attempt in 2021 2020, which was the
Right.
catalyst of our documentary. Yeah. He was a fun guy. He loved to laugh. He loved to debate. And I know that if he were here right now, he would say, okay, everyone stop crying. We're going to raise a shot, take a shot of vodka, and we're going to move on because the work continues. Take this anger, take this bitterness and disappointment and sadness, and let's channel it into action. As long as this regime continues, we have work to do. And that's a message that I hope the world hears today.
I mean, something that comes out in your documentary is he says there was a point when he thought that he had become well known enough that it would be very difficult to kill him. Then, after that well known assassination attempt, he said, okay, I was very wrong. And when he was asked in that clip that we just played earlier, our senior producer, Matt, points out that it's interesting that Navalny's response was, my message when I am killed. Do you get the sense that? Obviously, he knew the danger of the task that he was trying to undertake. Do you think that there was a part of him that had accepted the high possibility, considering what's happened to other outspoken critics of Vladimir Putin, the likelihood that this could very well be the outcome?
Well, Navalny was a smart man. He understood the danger that he put himself in, but it's not as if he had some death wish. This was a guy who loved life. This is a guy who loved his family, his daughter, his son, his wife Yulia. This is not the outcome that he wanted, and I don't think this is the outcome that he thought would happen. He genuinely believed in sort of the continuity of his mission and his life, and that he would get out of prison, and he was motivated by that shimmering Russia of the future, that beautiful Russia of the future. But of course, we all understood the danger. He was not naive. He lived with both eyes wide open. And as we grieve and we sort of pick up the pieces, I really am left with this sense of mission. And I know that millions and millions of disillusioned Russians will feel similarly.
Talking right now with Daniel Rohr. He directed the 2022 Oscar-winning documentary about Navalny. Did you stay in contact with Navalny's team or his family after that documentary?
Yes, absolutely. I have a great love for his family. They're absolutely wonderful. His daughter Yulia and or his wife Yulia and his daughter Dasha, both were tearing up the dance floor at my wedding. I love them both dearly, and I am just gutted for them, and for the country and for the world. After the Oscars last year, 2 weeks after that, my wife and I got married, and so it was this whirlwind. Couple weeks, Navalny wrote me this really, really wonderful letter, which is very special because it's hard for him to get letters out into the world. And it's now something that I will cherish forever. But in it, he was just had a lot of gratitude for what we were able to create together, in spite of the fact that he's never seen the movie. And now I believe the film will take on a new meaning as people watch it for decades and decades to come.
I know that this is about your personal relationship with his family, but have you had a chance to speak with them since hearing the news of his death?
I haven't. I briefly communicated this morning with Christo Grozev, who is one of the lead subjects in the film. He's the Bellingcat journalist, and he and I were both sort of in shock, processing, that which cannot be processed, which seems so unsurprising yet so shocking. And I think that everyone will take a beat and grieve, and then these feelings and these emotions will be transformed into action.
Daniel, I so appreciate you making the time to talk today. Just before we let you go, is there anything that you want people to know or remember about this man that you spoke to, your friend, who became your friend? Anything that you would want to leave us with?
Yeah, I think I touched on it a little earlier. I like to think of what Navalny might say if he were here right now. And, he would tell everyone, all right, no crying, chin up, have a shot of vodka, and let's get back to work. That's at that that was his motivation in life, was his mission, and it has never seemed more vital. You know, as we focused on this war in Ukraine, as we focused on the degradation of Russia and its international standing, rampant corruption, Navalny's work has never seemed more vital. And more than that, Putin's regime has never been in greater peril. And you know, they are weak. The walls are closing in, and I think and I hope that Navalny's murder will galvanize support for the opposition, whatever shape it takes in the future, in the months and years to come.
That's Daniel Rohr, director of the 2022 Oscar-winning documentary film Navalny. It is available on the streaming platform Max right now. Daniel, thank you so much for making the time this morning.
Thank you.
Also with us is Regina Smith, professor of political science at Indiana University and author of Elections, Protest, and Authoritarian Regime Stability, Russia, 2008 to 2020. Professor Smith, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to talk about Navalny.
You know, it's so important to read everybody in on Navalny, because if you follow the headlines, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners do, they've watched the assassination attempt play out. They watched him go abroad before he made the choice to return home, the subsequent imprisonment, his relocation to the Arctic Circle. But a lot of this really connects at the beginning, over a decade ago, to his investigations with FBK, which he called the Anti-Corruption Foundation. Can you talk to me a little bit about some of the work that he did, the investigations that he did, that really did turn some of the Russian establishment, especially Vladimir Putin, against him?
Yeah, so FBK was, like many things Alexei Navalny did, a very innovative approach to understanding corruption. Navalny himself trained as a lawyer, and he bought stock in companies and showed up at corrupt corporate meetings and challenged people on the board, state officials, and economic elites with facts about corruption in their corporations. FBK went on to be sort of a platform to report corruption for ordinary Russians, and it dealt with things from potholes to poor repair of housing and other types of issues. So it was really quite a broad movement.
I know that this is being reported on Russian media, on Russia Today. I see it has made a headline there. But what kind of information access are people getting, you think, at this point, given that he was a figure that the establishment, that Vladimir Putin actively tried to push out of the public eye as much as possible? How does this information spread in a country where there is so much media control?
So there is a lot of media control. The report of his death was announced 2 minutes after it happened by the prison system, as far as we can tell, right, allegedly. But this is, people are getting information through social media, new media channels. People have VPNs and they use them to check Western sources or sources banned in Russia. And we do know that some of this media is getting through, because we're starting to see small protests spring up around Russia marking Navalny's death.
I know there are so many laws that were changed as well since the Ukraine war. I know it had become illegal in Russia to push any sort of narrative that ran contrary to what the military said. I also know that there were some laws implemented that limited who could run as president against Vladimir Putin, which essentially looks like heading into his next election, he doesn't really have any real challengers. How do people, from what you've seen, find hope at a time like this, where it looks as though, you know, now the main opposition leader is gone? There's a series of laws in place that suppress information, the way that information spreads, and who can even try to enter the political system. Do you know where people are finding hope right now in Russia?
It's a really interesting question, and it's an important one, because you're summing up the full range of repression that Russians are feeling right now. in addition to all these new laws, there are many people now being charged under those laws, being charged with treason, as one of Navalny's compatriots has been, Kazimierza, and sentenced to 25 years in prison. So there's an incredible amount of fear. People often ask why more Russians aren't protesting the war, and is it exactly because of this level of repression? And I think hope is found to the extent that it is in everyday life and personal pride. That often looks like ignoring the terrible conditions of Russia, but such as being proud of your work or showing up at your work every day, investing in your personal life.
You know, as people continue to process, and you've mentioned some of the demonstrations, which are extremely risky operations in Russia right now, what do you think Alexei Navalny's legacy will be among the Russian people and even within the international community?
So Navalny's always been a very interesting figure. People criticize him widely. You can see that on Twitter and Western sources. You can see it in blog posts. He was a flawed human being. But his legacy was twofold, I think. One was a series of tactics or strategies to work within the political system in a legal way to sort of contest Putin and to express opposition. So we saw this last month when thousands of people stood online in sub-zero temperatures to sign a registration document for an opposition candidate to run for president. That wasn't successful, but it did show or give visibility to people who are against the war because this was the one candidate who really had articulated anti-war positions. And I just want to say that I think the second legacy of Navalny is a new generation of activists that we see taking incredible risks inside of Russia or as part of the wartime migration outside of Russia to challenge the regime in various ways. So that, and in our interviews with these young activists, they all reference Navalny as the starting point of their own political interest and political engagement.
That's Regina Smith, professor of political science at Indiana University and author of Elections, Protest, and Authoritarian Regime Stability, Russia, 2008 through 2020. Professor Smith, thank you so much for making the time to talk with us on this day.
Thanks for reporting this story.
This is Air Talk on a Friday. I'm Austin Cross. When we come back, we are going to dig into 5 decades of groundbreaking television, ranging from Soul Train to Black-ish and beyond. We are talking about Black TV. Stick around. Air Talk is back in 60 seconds.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.